If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden. Down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of He Who Follows Me.
The Death That Walks? Well, how did he come to get that name?
Because people around here have seen him at night.
But he's dead.
That's right, he's dead. And they've seen him walking.
It must be their imagination.
It ain't their imaginations, I know. I've seen him myself.
What are you trying to do? Frighten us?
I ain't trying to frighten you, none. I don't have to. He'll frighten you. Old Mr. Thomas. The death that walks. Because he'll come for you. He'll come for you.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present He Who Follows Me. And now for our story. Adapted for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled He Who Follows Me.
I have before me the diary of a dead man. He and his wife were my best friends. The words he has written down tell a tale so fantastic it's almost impossible to believe. Yet I know that Bill and Helen Mason lived the last few months of their lives in dread fear of the slow steps that followed them. It is late evening as I read his words. I have come to their house, now so empty, and sit in the large, overstuffed leather chair in the library. Outside, rain pummels against the side of the house. The wind blows the fall leaves from the trees, and the sound of thunder gives vent to the anger of the storm. There's something in the house. A tension. A fear, perhaps. I feel almost as if unseen eyes were watching me. As if someone is here with me. Here in this room. And so I start to read his diary. Living words from the pen of a man who sleeps forever. March 3rd. Today, Helen and I came across one of those delightful old southern mansions. We decided to stop and make a study of the place. And Helen was especially interested in taking some color pictures to illustrate our lecture series in the fall. Well, I guess no one will mind if we take a look around the place.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't. Oh, it's a shame that whoever owns the house and grounds let the place run down this way. It must have been beautiful in its day.
Yeah, I imagine it was, Helen. And the house could still be saved, renovated. Beautiful place.
Oh, wait a minute. I'd like to get a shot from here. If that turns out, it'll make a nice picture.
Helen?
Mm-hmm?
I wonder what that building is over there.
Where?
Right over there, just in back of the house.
Oh, well, no one's to stop us. Why don't we take a look?
All right, let's go. I can't understand why anyone would let the grounds and house deteriorate so.
Well, it must have cost a lot of money to run a place as large as this, darling. The real estate office probably couldn't find a buyer.
Oh, you're probably right.
I noticed the other building doesn't seem to be so run down.
No. It's in remarkably fine condition. It must have been built a lot later than the house. It seems to be made of stone. Gray stone.
I wonder what it's used for.
Don't know. Actually, I believe that someone lived in the old house not too long ago, and I think probably the second building was constructed during that time.
Well, it's a crime to let a beautiful old place run down like this.
Well, here we are.
Bill?
Yes, dear?
doesn't have any windows.
Yes, I noticed that. Seems rather strange. Oh, well, maybe it was used for a storehouse.
Oh, look at the door.
What's the matter with it?
I think the lock's broken.
Yeah, you're right.
Why don't we take a look inside?
All right. The lock's all rusted through. There. Yeah, that does it.
And now to see what's inside.
Well, there might not be any windows, but there's a skylight that lets in the sun. Come on, let's go in.
All right. Ooh, it's so cold in here.
So I noticed. Helen...
What's that in the center of the floor?
That's just what I was going to say. This isn't a storehouse by any stretch of the imagination. It's a mausoleum. That thing in the center of the floor is a sarcophagus. Stone coffin.
There's nothing else in here. Just that thing in the center. And yet I feel as if it's crowded. As if there are things here that we can't see.
Oh, that's nonsense, darling. Hey, look, notice how the sun falls across the head of the sarcophagus.
Yes, I wonder if we have light enough to take a picture.
I doubt it, but you could try.
Well, I might as well if it turns out
that... Yeah. What are you two doing in here? Oh,
we noticed the lock was broken, and so we came on in.
You shouldn't have done that.
Why not? We didn't do any harm.
I'm sure of that, but he won't like it.
Who won't like it?
The thing that sleeps in that stone coffin.
What are you talking about?
Just what I said. You didn't notice the writing over the door when you came in, did you?
What writing?
You didn't notice it then. That's a shame. Because you didn't know what you was getting into.
Getting into? Look, I'm sorry, but I just don't understand. We didn't hurt anything. We're not intending to steal anything.
Well, that don't make no difference. He doesn't care what your reasons were.
Who is he?
They called him Mr. Thomas when he was living. They call him the death that walks now that he's dead.
The death that walks? How did he come to get that name?
Because people around here have seen him at night.
But he's dead.
That's right, he's dead. And they've seen him walking.
That must be their imaginations.
It ain't their imaginations, I know. I've seen him myself.
What are you trying to do? Frighten us?
I ain't trying to frighten you, none. I don't have to. He'll frighten you. Old Mr. Thomas. The death that walks.
I think we better go, Bill.
You don't believe what I'm telling you. That's all right with me. I don't care what you believe, but you listen to what I'm saying now. If I was you, I'd get away from here as fast as I could. Not just from this place, but from the town, from this part of the country.
Why?
You want me to tell you a little of the story?
Yes.
All right. Maybe you'll believe me then. Old Tannis came here from someplace in Europe. I say old, but he really wasn't old. Just seemed that way. He brought the house and grounds here and had them cleaned up till the place looked like it was brand new. Then he started building this here building. There's something funny about Tannis, something in his eyes that made you frightened of him. His eyes, they looked like the eyes of a dead man. He didn't act like anyone I ever knew. He was always talking about death, always telling me he could come back after death. I was a caretaker then, just like I am now. After this building was completed, I used to watch him at night when he'd come out here. It seemed like he was in some sort of a trance. He'd stay out here for hours. And when he'd come back to the house, his eyes would glisten and shine, so you couldn't hardly look at him. A week before he died, he told me that as long as I lived, I was to take care of this place. Because if I didn't, he'd come back and kill me. And then he died. Just like that. And he was put in here, in his coffin. And one night, about 2 months later, when the moon was full, I heard a noise. And when I come out to look, I saw the door to this place opening. And him come out in the moonlight. And I could hear his footsteps. It sounded queer and hollow-like. I turned around and I could see his face in the moonlight. Pale and pasty, sick looking. And those eyes of his seemed like two burning coals of fire. He seemed to be looking at me. And I heard him say, "They have disturbed me, and the moon has awakened me. I shall follow them." That's what he said. And I heard it just as plain as you're hearing me. And then he vanished in the night. Towards morning, I heard his footsteps again. And I heard that big iron door closing. And I knew he was back. The next day in town, I heard that Alf Cummins had died the night before, screaming something about not meaning to go into the mausoleum. I knew who killed him.
And that's all there is to the story?
Oh, that's just part of it. It's happened again and again in the last 10 years since he's been dead. Folks around here say he'll follow you wherever you go if you come inside here.
Well, in that case, why haven't you been killed?
Because he needs me. He ain't going to kill me. But if I was you, I'd get out of this part of the country just as soon as I could.
Let's go back to the hotel, Bill.
Yes, all right, dear.
You going to get away from here?
Yes, we'd better get going.
I wish I'd have been here when you come, but I was in town getting this lock. You can't go around leaving this door unlocked. Yes, that ought to satisfy him.
There's the inscription, Bill.
Yeah, that's the writing I mean. Got a nice sentiment, ain't it?
If you enter here, into the realm of death, I shall follow you and bring him with me. March 3rd, later. I sit here and write these words. It's quite late and the moon has risen full in the sky. Helen is standing by the window looking out. For some reason, I am frightened. And yet I know that a few months from now I shall only laugh at the memory of my fright. However, in the morning, I do believe that we will leave this place.
All through?
Yes, for tonight at least. I think we'll be leaving tomorrow, Helen.
Oh, I'm glad. I don't believe the caretaker story, and yet I'm afraid.
Yeah. It's a beautiful night.
Yes, isn't it? That moon's so big and full that it could... Bill.
Yes, dear?
Look down there at the street. There's a man down there.
Oh, but there's nothing to be...
Bill! He's looking straight up at us and pointing to us at... Look at his face, Bill. Look at his face.
Pale. Pasty looking. And his eyes like two burning coals of fire.
Back now to our story, adapted especially for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled He Who Follows Me.
As I read these pages, the words stare up at me, and their formations bring to life a nameless terror which I feel all around me. Outside, the storm still rages. Yet the sound of it fades from my mind as the terror in the pages of the volume I hold before me becomes increasingly apparent. March 3rd. Still later. The man down in the street, whomever he was, left after about 10 minutes. He has given us quite a fright.
Where I felt any doubts as to whether or not we should leave this place, they've all been dispelled now. Helen has just gone to bed. I think I shall do the same.
If we're going to leave in the morning, you'd better get to sleep, Bill. I want to get out of here as soon as I can.
Yes, I was just coming to bed, Helen.
That man we saw...
Yes?
It might be only coincidence.
Do you really believe that, Helen, or are you trying to talk yourself into it?
I guess I'm trying to rationalize it, and I'm afraid I'm not doing a very good job of it.
I don't know what to believe. It could be coincidence, but somehow I'm afraid it isn't.
Then you think that...
Maybe. No, don't worry about it, Helen. By tomorrow, we'll be several hundred miles from here. And I doubt if whomever it was will follow us.
Jonathan. They sound just like the steps the caretaker described to us.
Yes, but we saw him walk away.
I think Billy's in the room upstairs.
Well, it's probably someone else.
It's not. I know it's not.
All right. Just a minute. I'll call the desk. This is William Mason in 316. Can you tell me who has the room directly above mine? Clerk's going to check. Yes? Oh, I see. No, thank you very much.
What did the clerk say?
The room directly above ours is unoccupied. March 4th. We left the hotel a short time after we heard the steps. We went immediately to our car and drove all night and all day, and are stopping now in a motel almost 1,000 miles away. It's reassuring to know that he could not possibly follow us. I am very tired. We'll go to bed and get an early start in the morning. Helen, you asleep?
No.
What are you thinking about?
The words that were written above the mausoleum door. If you enter here into the realm of death, I shall follow you and bring him with me. Phil?
Yes. Yes, I hear them too.
He couldn't possibly have come this far, could he?
I don't know. What's the matter?
Phil's face. Pressed against the window.
It's not there now.
I was there for just a few seconds. I saw it, Bill. The same man we saw last night outside the hotel. He was right outside the window.
March 5th. This morning when I went in to pay the bill, the man who owns the motel said a strange, pasty-faced man had been in earlier and told him to tell me that he would follow me. March 11th. It's impossible to get any material together that'll help me in my work. Everywhere we go, he's there also. March 16th.
Yeah, Mr. Mason, this guy said it was all right for you to go on ahead because he was going to follow you.
March 22nd.
No, he didn't leave a name. He just said that he'd be in touch with you.
April 7th.
Never saw anyone who looked like that before. Is he a friend of yours, Mr. Mason?
April 18th.
He said he'd follow you.
April 29th.
He told me to say he'd follow you.
May 15th.
Follow you. Follow you. Follow you.
Follow you.
Follow you.
Follow you.
No!
I wish there was something I could do, Helen, but there's nothing. I've done my best, Rosen, but I can't.
I want to go home, Bill.
Oh, if we go home, it'll be the same thing.
Maybe it won't. I can't stand this anymore.
All right, darling. We'll leave for home right away.
June 23rd. We arrived home this evening. I called Gary as soon as I could. He said he'd be out within the hour to see us. He wasn't able to help us in any way. I really didn't expect any help. I was hoping that he might be able to offer some concrete suggestion as to what to do. However, last night was the first night in months that we haven't been aware of his presence. Maybe Helen is right. Perhaps he won't follow us here.
Back now to our story, adapted especially for radio by Richard Thorne, entitled He Who Follows Me.
July 3rd. We've not seen or heard anything unusual since we first came home. I feel as a man might feel who has been given a new lease on life. July 10th. Still nothing. August 19th. For the past 2 months, a feeling of peace and security has enveloped the house.
Helen and I have been able to go around with no sense of danger nor of dread. But last night, that feeling was shattered. Gary had come out for dinner. It was almost 10 o'clock.
Well, it's about time for me to get along.
Oh, it's only 10, Gary. Surely you don't have to go so soon.
I'm afraid I must, Helen. Tomorrow's a working day for me.
I thought I might be able to get you into a game of chess.
Oh, some other time, Bill.
Well, next time, don't stay away so long.
Don't worry. I think we ought to... Tell me, is someone upstairs?
No.
Well, listen.
He's back.
Who's back?
The man we told you about. Those are his footsteps. I'd know them anywhere. I should. I've heard them enough.
What are you going to do?
Look, will you come upstairs with me, Gary?
Yes, of course.
You stay here, Helen.
Oh, don't go up there, Bill. Don't let him, Gary.
No, Helen. This time I'm going to meet him face to face.
Then I'm going with you.
No, you're not. You're going to stay right here. Ready, Gary?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Careful.
As careful as we can.
If he is up there, what are you going to do?
I don't know. We'll find that out when the time comes. Those steps came from the guest room.
I don't hear anything.
Well, let's see if he's in there. Stand back, Gary. I'm going to open the door.
Right.
It's empty. There's no one in here.
But I heard someone up here.
Yes, he was here, but he's gone. I can feel it when he's near me. I know that... Come on.
Helen!
Helen, where are you?
Helen! There she is, in the front room.
Helen. What's the matter, Helen? Helen, answer me.
She can't, Bill. She's sitting there with her eyes wide open. She's dead.
August 23rd. We buried her today. As I sit here in the empty house writing this, I know that Tanis will come for me too. I am writing this in the hope that someone will find it, read it, and maybe understand my death. It's lonely here. Yet suddenly I have the feeling that I'm not alone. Someone is here with me. He is here in this room with me. I'm afraid to turn and meet him. To have those eyes of his burning into me. And yet I must. I pray that someone reads this. Perhaps he will... He will...
I have read the manuscript in full. The August 23rd entry was the last he ever made. The feeling of creeping horror that runs through the pages has imparted itself to me, and I sense that someone is here with me. Of course, I realize that it's only my imagination, but I can't shake that feeling. There is someone here. You.
Who do you think I am?
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of
The Hangman's Rope.
Jim, it came from our right. We better take a look.
Yeah.
I hope nothing...
Arnold,
huh?
Look.
Hanging from that tree, swinging back and forth, it's a man.
The Hall of Fantasy will present The Hangman's Rope in just a moment. And now for our story, an original tale of fantasy entitled The Hangman's Rope.
There is a legend, you know, a tale about the hangman. For 23 years, the executioner for the crown. Jack Ketch was his name, Governor. Jack Ketch.
I remember we were on our way back from the lake, Jim and Carol and I. And for some reason, we started back to the city later than usual. We hadn't been driving for more than half an hour when one of those sudden spring storms...
Now, where did that come from?
Someone said there might be a storm tonight, but I thought we'd be home before it broke.
We'd better put the wipers on.
We started back too late tonight.
What was it that held us up, Jim?
I don't know. A lot of things. When I finally looked at my watch, I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yes. Arnold, look out. There's a man right in front of the car.
You stay here, Carol. Come on, Arnie. We'd better take a look.
Yeah, right. We didn't hit him, did we?
I don't think so.
Now, why would someone be out in the middle of the road on a night like this?
There's a lot of crazy people in this world, Arnie.
He must have been one of them.
Yeah, I'm getting soaked. Now, he was just about here. I can't understand. Jim, look.
Where?
There. There beside the tree. I don't see anything.
I guess I was wrong. You know, for a minute, I thought I saw someone hanging from that tree.
Oh, you must have been mistaken. You know, I can't figure this out, Arnie. That guy was out here on the road right in front of us. I saw him just as plain as day. But now there's no one around.
Yeah. We'd better get back to the car.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's no sense looking back at that tree, Arnie. There's nothing back there.
I don't know. I thought I saw someone swinging there back and forth with a rope around his neck.
Oh, no, you couldn't have. Maybe it was some kind of optical illusion. It could have been a shadow or a branch or anything.
Yeah, that's right. Anything. Well, here's the car.
Oh, you two must like it out there in the rain.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. All the time that you were out there in the rain, the man you almost hit was talking to me.
What did you say?
You heard me.
Oh, now, sis, wait a minute. I looked back at the car a couple of times. I didn't see anyone talking to you.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with your eyes, then. I asked him if we couldn't give him a lift. And he said, no, he only had a little distance to go.
Carol, honey, this is the truth. We didn't see anyone near this car.
No. Look, I can prove it. He insisted I take this... Oh, that's strange.
What?
He was such an unusual man. Not American. He insisted that I accept a ring from him. Practically forced it on me. I put it in my pocket, and now it's gone. And in its place, there's a funny little piece of rope. Shaped like a hangman's noose.
I knew Carol wasn't lying to us. I asked her if she would let me have the little piece of rope. After I dropped them off at their place, I went home, took it out, and set it on the table. I can't explain it, but there was something about that rope which seemed old. It was made of hemp, the kind of rope you would imagine Jack Ketch might have used 250 years ago when he was the hangman. That night, as I slept, my sleep was troubled. In my dreams, there was a huge black gallows. I saw a man climbing the stairs to his death. He reached the top and stood there. Standing beside him was a black hooded man. He raised his hand and the trap door sprung open. There was a scream. And then I saw this man swinging back and forth. His face was hidden from me, yet there was something strangely familiar about him. I felt as if I knew him quite well.
We'll return to the tale of the hangman's rope in just a moment. Back now to our tale of fantasy entitled The Hangman's Rope.
When I awoke from my dream, I couldn't get back to sleep. For in the black blankness of sleep, I had come into contact with death. As the morning approached, I fell into a nervous sleep. I was awakened. Hello?
Arnie, this is Carol. Could you meet Jim and me for lunch today?
What time?
About one.
I hope you'll forgive me if I don't sound awake, Carol. I just couldn't sleep last night.
I didn't sleep either, Arnie. I'll see you at one.
Then I guess I wasn't the only one who missed out on sleep last night, huh?
That's right. I don't know what it was, but I had the craziest dream. When I woke up, I couldn't get back to sleep.
That's what happened to me, too.
What kind of dreamer was it, Carol?
Well, everything was dark and gloomy. I seemed to be watching an execution, an old-time execution. Maybe 200 or 300 years old. A man walked up the steps of the gallows. Another man was there with a black hood over his head. He raised his arm. The trap door opened, and the
man swung back and forth, and there was something familiar about him. Isn't that right?
Yes, but how did you know?
Because my dream was the same as yours, sis. Exactly the same.
Jim's and my vacations were due the following week. We decided to spend it up at the lake, where his family had a cottage. Carol said she might be able to join us on the last weekend, but not before that. Jim and I left the following Friday night.
Well, I can certainly use this vacation. Maybe we can catch a few northerns this time, huh?
Maybe. Is your family going to come up here while we're there?
No. Carol will be up the last weekend, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess we'll have the place to ourselves, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, why are you stopping here?
Last Sunday night, this is where we stopped. I'm going to get out and take a look at the side of the road for a minute.
Oh, Arnie, why don't you forget about it?
I just want to check it, that's all. That's the tree, isn't it?
I think so. on that limb. That's where I saw him hanging.
Oh, just thinking about it makes me nervous. Come on, let's go back to the car.
All right.
Carol said that while we were out of the car, she was talking to the fellow we saw.
If that's the case, I can't understand why we didn't see him, too. You know, Jim, there just wasn't enough time for him to get away from the car without our seeing him. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless he was never there.
Oh, but that couldn't... Arnie! Look!
In the car seat. Another little piece of rope.
Before I could stop him, Jim threw the little noose out into the darkness. A little piece of rope, an inanimate thing, coiled and twisted, which somehow seemed to be alive. We reached the cottage perhaps half an hour later, and though we were both disturbed by what had happened, still it didn't interfere with our sleep. The next day, we went out fishing early, had little luck, and were on our way back to the cottage when the woman who owned the property next door stopped us.
Good morning, Mr. Stanley.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Bennett.
Out for the weekend?
Well, for the next 2 weeks. Oh, excuse me. Mrs. Bennett, this is Arnold Slade.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Slade.
Well, thank you. Same here.
You must be that young man that Carol's going to marry.
Yes, that's right.
She'll make you a fine wife, Mr. Slade. the reason I stopped you, Mr. Stanley, is this.
Mm-hmm.
There's something strange going on out here.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, the constable came by the other day and asked me if I'd seen any strangers here. A couple of people have died over on the other side of the lake. And the constable ain't been able to find out what happened.
How did these people die?
Well, that's what's so strange about it. Both of them were killed by hanging.
Hanging?
That's right. Old Mr. Taylor, who lived about a mile down by the shore, he was one of them, and he couldn't hardly walk. They found him swinging from a tree, but he was several feet off the ground, and nobody can figure out how he got up there.
What the woman had said frightened me. It seemed as if we were getting deeper and ever more deeply into something from which we would never be able to get away. That night, it was Saturday, Jim and I went out for a walk. It was a particularly dark night. The moon was obscured by clouds, and as we walked along, I could hear the chirping of many crickets. And occasionally a bullfrog's hoarse voice raised in protest.
Arnold, this thing has me worried.
In what way, Jim?
This whole thing. Last Sunday night and today when we stopped by the tree. And then what Mrs. Bennett told us.
I've been thinking about it, too.
Well, that's strange.
What?
The crickets have suddenly stopped. It's too quiet. Jim, it came from over there. We better take a look.
Yeah. It's too quiet, just as you said.
There must be something terribly wrong up here.
I hope nothing...
Arnold, look. Hanging from that tree, swinging back and forth. It's a man.
What are we going to do?
We better cut him down.
No. We better call the authorities first.
I guess you're right. Come on, Mrs. Bennett's got a phone. If we hurry, we may be able to get out a great deal of help to the authorities.
Jim, did you notice how high that branch was?
I saw it.
Yes? Why, Mr. Stanley, it's you.
Mrs. Bennett, may we use your phone?
Well, I suppose so. Come in.
Thanks.
Thank you.
But it's in the other room.
Thanks.
What's the matter, Mr. Slade? It looks like something's happened to upset you two.
Well, it certainly has.
The constable? Why, what's happened?
We were out for a walk.
Yes?
We heard a scream.
I think you'd better get out of here.
We ran to where the scream had come from.
We
found a man hanging from a tree.
That's right, hanging. Yes, we'll stay here at Mrs. Bennett's. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, what, you're telling me the truth, young man?
That's the truth, ma'am.
Mr. Stanley, is what Mr. Slade told me the truth?
I'm afraid it is.
Oh, then no one is safe around here. I wonder who it was.
What difference does that make, Mrs. Bennett? A man's been murdered.
It makes a lot of difference, Mr. Slade. If it was Bill Roberts, then it was just like the other two. I saw him just the other day, and he said someone was playing a joke on him, that he'd been sent a little piece of rope shaped in the form of a noose.
You are listening to the tale of The Hangman's Rope on this week's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. We'll return to our story in just a moment. And now, back to our story, entitled The Hangman's Rope.
A little piece of rope. Both Jim and I stared at each other for a moment. It might be coincidence. We knew that, but it was difficult trying to make ourselves believe that. About half an hour later, the constable arrived.
You two found him, is that right, Mr. Stanley?
That's right.
We were out taking a walk. We heard a scream, and then we found him.
Can't make heads nor tails out of this. Three of them. Three deaths in 2 weeks, all the same way. They all received a little piece of rope just before they died.
A little piece of rope?
Yeah, that's right. I say all three. I ain't seen the body yet, but I have a pretty good idea who it is. Bill Roberts.
It's enough to make a person afraid of the dark, Constable.
Yeah, ain't it? Well, I want you two to take me to him.
I'll go, too.
No, you stay here.
But...
You stay off the phone.
Oh.
I don't want the rest of the people to hear anything about this, at least for the time being. Things are bad enough as it is. All right, come on, let's go. Now, remember what I said, Mrs. Bennett.
Don't you worry, Nun Constable.
I hope that woman stays off the phone. The whole county will be in an uproar if she doesn't.
Do you, have any idea who's behind these deaths?
No, I haven't.
Funny thing, he was up so high. I don't see how he could have gotten up there by himself.
Yeah, well, I wish I had something to work on. Well, we'll see if he's just like the others in a little while. How far away was he?
There he is, Constable.
I want to get a look at his face. Yeah. I was afraid of that.
Who is it?
Bill Roberts.
But how did he get up there?
The branch is 20 feet off the ground. It would take an acrobat to climb that tree. Bill wasn't any acrobat.
Well, how did he get up there?
I don't know. Three people received pieces of rope, and then a couple of weeks later, we find him hanging from a tree. You tell me the answer.
We cut him down, but it took almost an hour to get up on that branch to do it. We put him in the constable's car and drove him back to town. Before he left, we told him that we too had received the little gift, the noose of rope, which had been in three instances the forerunner of death. When we got back to the cottage, we had a bite to eat, and seeing as we weren't in the mood to sleep, we sat down to read. I picked up a little book I hadn't seen before and read it from cover to cover. It held an eerie fascination, and I wasn't able to put it down till the last page had been turned, the last word read. Jim?
Hmm?
Where did you get this book?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen it before. Why?
It looks like a first edition of 200 years ago.
Well, let me see it.
Here.
Hmm. A short history concerning the mysterious reappearance of Jack Ketch, a hangman who served as executioner for 23 years. I've never seen this book before.
Well, then how did it get here?
I don't know. Jack Ketch. Say, he was the hangman in England who took too much pleasure in his work, isn't that right?
I think so.
How much of this did you read?
All of it. It's not very long.
And
this is what I got out of it. Before he died, the book says he had made some kind of a pact with an evil power. It seems they actually do have a written copy of that agreement somewhere in England. And there's his signature. And an illegible scrawl that no one has ever been able to decipher. The pact promises life after death for him in exchange for certain services. Then the book says that year after year, some rather mysterious deaths have occurred. They find the victims hanging from the branch of a tree. the tree almost impossible to climb. And the book also says that each of the murdered people received a little piece of rope before their deaths, identical to the ones Jack Ketch used as executioner. That is the warning. The warning of death to follow.
But that's impossible. The man's been dead for over 250 years.
That's right, he's dead. But the rest of the story, it's exactly the same thing that's happening to us. Two days later, in late evening, the rest of the story unfolded. Jim had gone down to the store to pick up some cigarettes. I'd been down to the shore doing a little fly casting and had started back up to the cottage. I was surprised at how quickly night had fallen. I wish that I'd brought along a flashlight. From somewhere across the lake, I heard the cry of a dog, and the sound of it filtered through and was carried along by the night air. For some reason, I became unaccountably nervous. I stopped walking. I felt someone was watching me. Then from the darkness of the trees, a man emerged.
Here now. Where be you going?
Well, back up to my cottage. I was doing some fly casting till night came.
Any luck?
No. I'd better be going.
No need to hurry. Why? Nice out here, ain't it?
I suppose so.
Strange thing, you know. The little creatures. They've stopped.
Little creatures?
That's right, Coven. Crickets and the frogs. They stopped talking.
Yes, they have.
You frightened of me, Governor?
Of course not. What are you laughing at?
You wouldn't understand it, Governor.
Is that you down there, Mr. Slade?
Yes, Mrs. Bennett.
Do you mind if I join you?
No, of course not.
Ah, good.
I'd better be going, eh, Governor? I'll see you another time.
Who were you talking to?
I don't know. He just stepped out of the darkness and there he was.
Well, I guess he's gone now.
Yes, I guess he is.
Where's Mr. Stanley?
Well, he went down to pick up some cigarettes. He should be back soon.
Oh, well, the constable told me to tell you that he'd be out tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Would you mind walking me back to my place, Mr. Slade? It's rather frightening out here when it's this dark.
I'll be glad to.
That man you were talking to, what did he look like?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't see his face. He had an accent. It sounded like he might have come from London.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
I can't understand it. The crickets and frogs, they've been starting and stopping all night. They must be afraid of something.
Every time they stop...
What'd you say?
Every time they stop, something happens.
Arnold, where are you?
I'm walking Mrs. Bennett back to her cottage. Anything wrong?
No. I got back from the store and I was wondering where you were. It's just that I have a strange feeling that something is going to happen.
Let's go up to our place, Mrs. Bennett. Maybe the constable will want to see you, too.
That's a good idea. Land's sakes, Mr. Slade. The strangest things have been happening out here lately.
Arnold!
We'll be right there, Jim.
Well, there's someone up here now. I thought I went...
Jim!
Something's wrong, Mr. Slade.
I don't know. Jim! What's the matter? Answer me!
Mr. Slade, look! Oh, hanging from that tree, it's Mr. Stanley!
There is a legend, you know, a tale about the hangman. For 23 years, the executioner for the crown. Jack Ketch was his nine, Governor. Jack Ketch.
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
This has been a Cryptid County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.